The Sunday Baroque podcast is made possible by WSHU and the Friends of Sunday Baroque. You can find out more about the Friends of Sunday Baroque and find out how to become one yourself by visiting our website, sundaybaroque.org, under the Contact tab.
Dennis Keene is Artistic Director and Conductor of Voices of Ascension, a New York-based choral group he founded in 1990. He is also an organist and recently oversaw the selection and installation of a new French-built organ at the Church of Ascension, where his group is in residence. Dr. Keene, thank you so much for making time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So I want to really back this up to the very beginning and assume that someone who really knows very little or nothing about what an organ is as an instrument, as a magnificent piece of furniture and artwork, but talk a little bit about how a pipe organ is constructed. How does this instrument produce sound and change timbres the way it does? Kind of give us an overview if you could.
Well, the organ is the most complicated machine you can imagine. And I'm also the music director at Church of the Ascension. And the old organ here was falling apart. And so we needed a new one. And the Manton Family Foundation, said that they would give us a grant to present the Manton Memorial Organ in memory of Sir Edwin and Lady Manton. The pipe organs are made of a million pieces, wind-making machines, wind chests, keyboards, and, of course, pipes. And this organ has over 6,000 pipes. And they're all handmade one at a time, just the way they have been for centuries and centuries. Mm-hmm. And Pascal Coirin, who is the builder from southern France, down in Provence, he is a particular expert on the work of the great 18th century French organ builder, Dom Bédos de Selles. This was a monk who was one of the two greatest French Baroque organ builders. And Pascal Coirin restored the great masterpiece of Dom Bédos, which is in the Church of the Holy Cross in Bordeaux. And so he's become the leading expert in the world on the work of Dom Bédos. And the core of this instrument is exactly the same type of pipe work that was found in the instruments of Dom Bédos. Dom Bédos also wrote the most important encyclopedia on organ building from the entire Baroque period. Mm-hmm. And every detail of pipe making, what kind of metal, what temperature, how to lay out the boards, how to do this, everything, the scaling of all the pipes. And the core of the instrument here at Church of the Ascension, all of the pipes were exactly constructed according to the designs of Dom Bédos. And if you go to the Atelier of Coirin, you will find the books right in the mounting room of where the instrument is put together, because they're constantly referring to the Bible as they refer to it. And so the sounds are, for Baroque music, very distinctive. And for French Baroque music, the sounds that are called for by the composers are very specific sounds. And there is not another organ in this country that has those sounds. There are many in France, but not a single one other than this. And this is a repertory that is very great. It includes François Couperin and a composer that only organists perhaps know. His name is Nicolas de Grigny. But Bach knew him very well because his organ book, Grigny's organ book, Bach copied the entire thing by hand. And he learned keyboard ornamentation from Grigny. And when you hear this music played on the sounds for which it was written, it just comes alive. It's just absolutely extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us a couple of examples of what kinds of sounds those might be?
Let's just start with the reeds. The one half of the family of the organ pipes are reed stops, which include trumpets, or in French, trompette, and cromhorn, voix humaine, basson, hautbois, all of these different kinds of sounds. The biggest family, of course, are the trumpets. And trumpets at a normal pitch level are just called trompettes. In a higher pitch, they're called clairons, and the very low trumpet pipes are called bombardes. And the word bombard is appropriate, let me tell you, because they're very powerful in the bass register.
So what would make a Baroque organ different from an organ on which you might like to play Messiaen or other more recent composers?
First of all, you have the pipework. And the pipework is made of a certain type that is for clear sounds for Baroque music. In symphonic repertory, you have sounds that are richer, with fuller tones, smoother attacks. Just as a 19th century symphonic orchestra, you're going to have a richer sound than you are with an early music ensemble. This organ has pipework from both traditions, but the core of it is from Baroque. And all of the voicing of the pipes were done according to 18th century styles, or even 17th century styles. Then the other aspect is the mechanism, or the action of the instrument. And we have two consoles, and the first console is what's called a mechanical or tracker action console, where there is actual direct connection mechanically from the key to the valve that goes underneath the pipe, and you're able to affect the speech of all of the pipes in a very subtle, nuanced way, which for Baroque music is absolutely necessary if you're going to do serious early music playing.
So this is a particularly important church historically and artistically, and I think it would be a huge omission not to mention that this is a quite beautiful-looking instrument as well.
Well, the organ cases are spectacular carved wood. There are four organ cases in French walnut and French ash, and they, besides the beautiful pipes, which are polished tin, they have magnificent carved, mostly birds, and foliage, and it's extremely beautiful and goes with the famous artwork from the late 19th century of the Lafarge mural, the Charles McKim Reredos. It is harmonious. The cases are influenced by the French Art Nouveau style, which was the equivalent period in France, from Tiffany windows and such in the United States. And so we have a case that hints back to that period, but is clearly from our time as well. And I think it's a very harmonious and gorgeous addition to the interior of the church.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you go into this project with a somewhat clear idea of what you wanted the end result to be, or did that expectation evolve as you met the organ builder and whatnot?
The goal of the instrument was clear from the get-go. This parish has had a very serious music program for 100 years or more, and it has been an eclectic classical music. Some churches do, for example, Anglican tradition, or do only early music, or whatever. The Church of the Ascension has done classical music from all centuries. On one Sunday, we'll do William Byrd. On the next Sunday, we'll do Messiaen. On the next Sunday, we'll do Brahms. And so we needed an organ that could cover all of these bases. And but the organ had to be from one of the very greatest builders in the world, and that limits the field, because some of the greatest builders only build in one style. Pascal Coirin has built many Baroque instruments, historically influenced Baroque instruments, but he's also built some eclectic instruments. And so when I heard one of his eclectic instruments, it took me 2 minutes to know that this was the builder for us, because it had a complete core of early music sounds, but he was able to use that as a base and build from there and add symphonic sounds to it and mesh the two into a 21st century instrument.
Mm-hmm. When for an organ is of this size and complexity, it's got to be a long process to build and install and get it ready to play. So could you kind of walk us through that process?
The process that we did was about as fast and streamlined as it possibly could have been. Mm-hmm. I heard about Pascal Coirin in November of 2006. So that's 4.5 years ago. After I heard his name 5 weeks later, on January 2nd of 2007, I was in southern France. And I heard his organ at Saint-Rémy de Provence. And I knew that this was the builder instantly. So it was a matter of getting him to come to New York and look at the instrument and design. So we went through the design. The basic design was done in less than 2 hours the first morning he was here at Church of the Ascension. He's a very brilliant, visionary kind of guy, and he understood exactly what I was looking for. And before lunch the first day, 95% of the organ was designed. Then all of the details, the mechanical design, which is the engineering feat, is astonishing. We know that this is a musical instrument, but it is a huge construction project with steel beams and concrete and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And his business partner, Laurent Mem, who is the head engineer, had to design how all these sounds were going to be put together in this particular space. And that took months. But by the contract was signed on May 8 of 2008. And so here we are 3 years later, and the organ has been complete for a few months. And that's quick. Mm-hmm. And we were lucky because we signed a contract right when they were ready to work on this instrument. And so they put their full resources into play and moved this along, or it could have taken several years more.
Mm-hmm. Now, I saw in some of the press announcements that you made an observation I found very intriguing. You said that this organ's sounds are human, and I wonder if you could elaborate on that.
Well, that's interesting. I think they are. I think if you were to ask a violinist or cellist who had in their lifetime purchased a great instrument, all of a sudden their playing goes to another level. They have an instrument that is of itself of such a high and individual artistic entity, it's almost like it's a person. And it can do things that you just simply couldn't do on another instrument, and it inspires you. And I've only played a handful of instruments in the world in my lifetime that are of this caliber. And it's the parishioners at Ascension, they all were very excited about this, and they said, but you know, we're excited for you, and I'm sure it'll be great, but we probably won't be able to tell the difference. Well, that's very amusing, because the difference has been so extraordinary for everybody. People who know nothing about the instrument, they hear this organ, they go, my God, I've never heard anything like this. And you find yourself attached to certain timbres that have such a particular personality that they point you in a different direction, in a particular direction of music making. And depending on which stops you pull and which sets of pipes you use, you are led into different avenues of music making that I can only... It is very much like a cellist friend of mine who bought a 18th century cello. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, saved her life savings and took out a cello mortgage or whatever you do and got this magnificent Italian instrument. And it's just an artist is liberated and encouraged. At the same time, you're also forced to practice more. And I've been burning the candle lately, let me tell you.
Uh-huh. Now, you've been giving the instrument a proper debut in musical society.
I should say so.
So talk about some of the things that you have done to highlight the instrument and also some of the upcoming things. I know that there's something coming up in just a week
coming
away.
Coming up very soon is one of the great Baroque masters of the organ. And he's never played in New York City. He is one of the grand masters of France. His name is Francis Chapelet. And he lives near Bordeaux in a small town. He doesn't own a computer. He doesn't have a cell phone. He corresponds by writing letters.
Oh.
And this great man is coming to New York for the first time, and he's going to play all early music. He's going to play two of the greatest Bach organ pieces, the Wedge Prelude and Fugue and the St. Anne Prelude and Fugue. He's playing a piece of Buxtehude. He's playing an entire French Baroque suite by Pierre Dumage in the style that it was done, which is called alternatum, where a group of singers, and this happens to be the choir called Cerdorian, a group of the men are singing the Gregorian chant from the rear balcony. They do one verse, and then he plays a verse of French Baroque music, and then they sing a verse, and he plays a verse. And this style of chant and organ from one end of the church to the next, this alternatum style survived in France from the Middle Ages up until Vatican II, when it was killed.
Oh.
And the only place I know where you can hear it is in the afternoon on Sundays at Notre Dame in Paris at a service where they do the Magnificat, and it is really quite extraordinary. So on Thursday, May 26, at 8 p.m. at Church of the Ascension, 5th Avenue and 10th Street, they'll get to hear this tradition reenacted here, and with all of the French Baroque sounds that Pierre Dumage or Couperin would have heard, absolutely voiced in the manner of Dom Bedos, and it's a rare opportunity. He's also playing some Spanish Baroque music by Cabanillas, and he is also an expert on Spanish organs and Spanish organ music. So that's something. On June 16, we have an eclectic program by a very great artist from Germany called Christoph Bossert. He is a famous musicologist and one of the most magnificent interpreters of Bach. He's playing two major Bach organ works, including the famous Passacaglia. But he's also playing works of Max Reger from the 19th century, and he is a famed interpreter of Max Reger. And he will be using the second console we have, and which is electrically, the mechanism is electric, and it will be using stops from the 19th century as well. So that'll be kind of interesting. And the Voices of Ascension are doing a concert on June 8, which features all choral and organ music. Pieces for chorus and organ, I should say.
And do you play when you are performing?
I play every Sunday
For
the church services, because I'm the music director of the church. When the Voices of Ascension give concerts, our organist Mark Krucek plays, and I conduct.
Okay. So I want to back up a little bit, because you mentioned before that the electric console can actually be rolled out into the middle of
That's
the altar area. How is that possible?
It's on a 13-inch tall platform that has wheels. And so you crank up the wheels, and it takes four men to move it. Mm-hmm. But we do. Mm-hmm. Our first concert with John Gillick from Paris was used that console, and so it was rolled into the middle. Mm-hmm. But for usual church services, it's parked behind a beautiful carved wood screen so that it's not too disruptive during Mass.
Was there any acoustic work or any kind of changes that had to be made elsewhere in the church to accommodate this new organ, or was the organ sort of fit into the existing
space?
That's
a very smart question. In many churches, they do major acoustical renovation when they get an important new instrument. We hired an acoustician to make sure nothing was changed, because this church has been famous for its acoustics for a long time. Mm-hmm. All of the recordings of the Voices of Ascension have been done here. The space has been rented out to very famous artists to make recordings, because the acoustics are so spectacular. So we hired an acoustician not to improve things, but to make sure we didn't change it.
Mm-hmm.
And for many organs, you would want more reverberation than we have. We have between 2.5 and 3 seconds of reverberation, mm-hmm. which for an organ is a bit on the short side. You'd prefer to have 4 to 5 seconds. But for most music, like choral music or other kinds of music, this is very live. For choral music, 2.5 to 3 seconds is absolutely perfect. And so we really didn't want to change it and make it more reverberant. We wanted it the way it was. Well, when Pascal Coirin got here to do what's called the voicing, which is the tonal regulation of every single pipe one at a time, took him 3 months here. Of course, it had already been voiced in France in his atelier, but then you must voice all of the pipes here in the space for which it's going to sound. And he had scheduled 5 months to do that. It only took him 3 months because the acoustic was so good. And he was absolutely pleasantly shocked to find that pretty much he didn't have to force anything, that the pipes, when he put them into the wind chests and pretty much balanced them up, they were pretty much ready to go. He didn't have to do very much manipulation of the voicing for this space, and he was thrilled. And as big an instrument as it is, and for a French organ, this is the largest French organ built in almost 50 years, which is quite something. And you'd think it would be too much for this space, but it was voiced for this room. And the room is very interesting because even when you pull all of the stops out, it's quite a loud sound, but it's never aggressive, it's never overwhelming or strident. It's just full and beautiful. And that is the accident of the acoustic of this room. Many of the concert halls these days are built with all of this expert acoustician technical things, and some of them turn out well and some of them frankly don't. And rooms like Carnegie Hall were not built with an acoustician on board, and Church of the Ascension was not built with an acoustician on board, and it just happened to turn out by accident to be a miracle.
So you've got this magnificent new instrument. When the excitement, the initial excitement dies down, what kind of future projects are you looking forward to with this
instrument?
Well,
of course, the Voices of Ascension do a concert series here every year, and we will always use the organ in conjunction with the Voices of Ascension. But now that we have this instrument, we have a responsibility to present the world's greatest organists here every year. And we started with three of the greatest masters playing recitals within a two-month period this year. And next year, we will also have some of the world's greatest instruments. We will start, John Gillick will come back to play in six concerts the complete organ works of Messiaen, for which he is world famous, and that will start in the next fall with three, with half of them, and then the fall of 2012. But we will always have early music players here as well, because in New York City there is a dearth of early music organ playing. There's a lot of symphonic organ playing these days. That seems to be in vogue. But when you consider that at least half, and some people would say two-thirds of the greatest literature of organ was written in the Baroque period, it's a pity that it isn't heard. Well, it will be. Yeah. And we plan to bring the greatest interpreters of early music to Church of the Ascension to be heard on this magnificent instrument.
Well, congratulations, and thank you very, very much for making time to speak with me.
My pleasure.